Thank you, Amber. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. We aspire to be and almost always manage to be a welcoming and open-minded congregation. You are welcome here no matter where you are on the spiritual journey, the journey of life, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your family situation, no matter your gender, no matter your orientation, your sexual orientation. And we do encourage you to come more than once if this is your first time, because our services can be very different on Sunday mornings. Sometimes they're done by me, Sandy Ingham, the minister here. Sometimes they're done by someone within the congregation, and often they're done by people outside the congregation. The opening words are these, and they are from Professor Andrew Norman, who is professor of philosophy at Carnegie Mellon University. He writes, "Take pride in your humanism. Share it with confidence. We stand for nothing less than a world in which pretend mattering has been rendered obsolete, not just by evidence and logic, but by forms of life that afford well-being, creative fulfillment, and honest-to-goodness mattering for all."
Penny, would you like to tell us? I didn't want you to get too comfortable. Thank you.
May the light around us guide our footsteps and hold us fast to the best and most righteous that we seek. May the darkness around us nurture our dreams and give us rest so that we may give ourselves to the work of the world. Let us seek to remember the wholeness of our lives, the weaving of light and shadow in this great and astonishing dance in which we move. Last week, I talked a little bit about the Humanist Manifesto written in 1933. So we're going to read it today. I have several people who graciously volunteered to read different parts of it. I will begin with this preamble, and it's a Humanist Manifesto, not the Humanist Manifesto. "The time has come for widespread recognition of the radical changes in religious beliefs throughout the modern world. The time is past for mere revision of traditional attitudes. Science and economic change have disrupted the old beliefs. Religions the world over are under the necessity of coming to terms with new conditions created by a vastly increased knowledge and experience. In every field of human activity, the vital movement is now in the direction of a candid and explicit humanism. In order that religious humanism may be better understood, we, the undersigned, desire to make certain affirmations which we believe the facts of our contemporary life demonstrate. There is great danger of a final, and we believe fatal, identification of the word religion with doctrines and methods which have lost their significance and which are powerless to solve the problems of human living in the 20th century. Today," and I want to edit this language, but I won't because it's sexist, "today, man's larger understanding of the universe, his scientific achievement, and his deeper appreciation of brotherhood have created a situation which requires a new statement of the means and purposes of religion. We therefore affirm the following." Heidi.
First, religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Second, humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. Third, holding an organic view of life, humanists find that the traditional dualism of mind and body must be rejected. Fourth, humanism recognizes that man's religious culture and civilization, as clearly depicted by anthropology and history, are the product of a gradual development due to his interaction with his natural environment and with his social heritage. The individual born into a particular culture is largely molded by that culture.
Thank you. Fifth, humanism asserts that the nature of the universe depicted by modern science makes unacceptable any supernatural or cosmic guarantees of human values. Obviously, humanism does not deny the possibility of realities as yet undiscovered, but it does insist that the way to determine the existence and value of any and all realities is by means of intelligent inquiry and by the assessment of their relation to human needs. Religion must formulate its hopes and plans in the light of the scientific spirit and method. Sixth, we are convinced that the time has passed for theism, deism, modernism, and the several varieties of new thought. Seventh, religion consists of those actions, purposes, and experiences which are humanly significant. Nothing human is alien to the religious. It includes labor, art, science, philosophy, love, friendship, recreation. All that is in its degree expressive of intelligently satisfying human living. The distinction between the sacred and the secular can no longer be maintained.
Eighth, religious humanism considers the complete realization of human personality to be the end of man's life and seeks its development and fulfillment in the here and now. This is the explanation of the humanist's social passion. Ninth, in place of the old attitudes involved in worship and prayer, the humanist finds his religious emotions expressed in a heightened sense of personal life and in a cooperative effort to promote social well-being. Tenth, it follows that there will be no uniquely religious emotions and attitudes of the kind hitherto associated with belief in the supernatural. 11th, man will learn to face the crises of life in terms of his knowledge of their naturalness and probability. Reasonable and manly attitudes will be fostered by education and supported by custom. We assume that humanism will take the path of social and mental hygiene and discourage sentimental and unreal hopes and wishful thinking.
Twelfth, believing that religion must work increasingly for joy in living, religious humanists aim to foster the creative in man and to encourage achievements that add to the satisfactions of life. 13th, religious humanism maintains that all associations and institutions exist for the fulfillment of human life. The intelligent evaluation, transformation, control, and direction of such associations and institutions with a view to the enhancement of life, human life, is the purpose and program of humanism. Certainly, religious institutions, their ritualistic forms, ecclesiastical methods, and communal activities must be reconstituted as rapidly as experience allows in order to function effectively in the modern world.
14th. The humanists are firmly convinced that existing acquisitive and profit-motivated society has shown itself to be inadequate, and that a radical change in methods, controls, and motives must be instituted. A socialized and cooperative economic order must be established to the end that the equitable distribution of the means of life be possible. The goal of humanism is a free and universal society in which people voluntarily and intelligently cooperate for the common good. Humanists demand a shared life in a shared world. 15th, and last. We assert humanism will A, affirm life rather than deny it, and B, seek to elicit the possibilities of life, not flee from it, and C, endeavor to establish the conditions of a satisfactory life for all, not merely for the few. By this positive morale and intention, humanism will be guided, and from this perspective and alignment, the techniques and efforts of humanism will flow.
Thank you. There you have it. As the document says, so stand the theses of religious humanism. A lot of words. And remember, this one was written in 1933. But I think you still, I hope, were able to get the gist of this document, despite all the words, which was so radical for its time, even within Unitarianism and Universalism. Andrew Norman, who I said was professor of philosophy, is professor of philosophy at Carnegie Mellon University, says that manifestos are important for many reasons. They, of course, add something important to our culture, and they give us our history. I mean, we call ourselves humanists or humanist congregation. It's good for us to know what exactly was in the Humanist Manifesto. But Norman does go on to say this. Let's be candid. These manifestos are also unwieldy, incomplete, and to many a modern ear, banal. I would agree with that. Not to mention that language from 83 years ago can sound stilted. Nevertheless, as I said last Sunday, the first time I read a humanist manifesto, I was in awe. Yes, I thought, this is what I believe. What's not to like about those 15 statements? I don't know if you caught the one about, which I of course especially like, that humanists believe the existing acquisitive and profit-motivated society has shown itself to be inadequate and radical change is needed. I'm paraphrasing a little there. And the point of life is the complete realization of human personality, and that religion must work increasingly for joy in living. What is not to like in those? I think we got a little off topic last Sunday during the congregational response time when we equated being a humanist with neglecting or ignoring the animal and plant worlds. That is, ignoring everything on earth and beyond that is not human. But being a humanist means, among other things, it simply means that we believe that humans are in charge and that no one's going to suddenly appear. Would that we lived in Hogwarts, maybe. But anyway, to save us from ourselves. It means that we're in charge and it's entirely up to us to mend this broken world, which, after all, we broke. Being a humanist, in the best sense of the word, definitely does not leave out the animal or plant worlds. Being a humanist means that I have a responsibility to other living and non-living. I couldn't come up with too many non-living parts of Earth. I thought of rocks, and then I thought of dirt, but dirt isn't exactly non-living. But we are responsible for the entire universe.
Water,
thank you.
Air.
I've been fighting a cold. That's my excuse. But we have a responsibility to do no harm and to live in harmony with the rest of creation. I often describe myself as a humanist pagan. To be a humanist means to be open-minded, realistic, but not totally, and not all the time. I'll get back to that in a minute. To be a humanist is to be a believer in the scientific method, a rational thinker, but not totally. I'm working up to an explanation of that. For a humanist, the point of life, as we know it right now, is to be all that we can be. And I really hate that the Army co-opted that phrase so long ago, because it's so perfect, to be all that we can be. The point of life is to fulfill our potential and to help others fulfill theirs. And this being a humanist involves imagination, creativity, openness to possibilities, A recognition that each one of us is beautiful and important, doing all that we can to help others realize their full potential. As the song said, how could anyone ever tell you you were less than beautiful? As a humanist, I pledge to imagine the unimaginable, just as Beagle did in the story. What is unimaginable? An atheist elected president of the United States. A world without war, a world beyond war. Shelter, food, clothing, and jobs for all of those refugees fleeing Syria and other parts of the Mideast and Africa. Shelter, food, clothing for all of the homeless right here in Madison and all over this country, this supposed land of the free. Prison reform, Black Lives Mattering, really mattering. Transgendered people respected and cherished by everyone. I don't know that anybody but me heard Gil say, but if we can imagine it, it's not unimaginable. He was very puzzled. You may get some strange questions from him later today. So I am a humanist. I have to imagine the unimaginable. And this, for me, is where the sacred, the religious, enters into the equation. Despite the ifs, ands, and buts, and maybes of life, I am a humanist who tries to look at what is and go from there, because I am also a humanist who immediately leaps to what if and why not. To make this leap requires a certain amount of faith in humanity. Making this leap also takes me out of the purely rational. So perhaps I am a humanist with not doubts, exactly, not reservations, but a humanist with an openness to possibilities. Jack Mendelsohn, some of you may recognize that name. Longtime beloved Unitarian. When he started, he was a Unitarian minister in the 40s. But eventually, of course, he was a Unitarian Universalist minister. He has something to say about this. He writes, in 1947, prior to becoming minister of the Unitarian Congregation of Rockford, Illinois, I met with their ministerial search committee. Seated beside me was Coosie Fox, a lifelong church member. Hers was the first question, are you a humanist or a theist? My answer, says Mendelsohn, was immediate and honest, both. So it was then, he wrote, and so it remains. Unfortunately, Jack is not physically with us anymore. Last week in Iowa City, when I had a mini reunion with a couple of people I went to seminary with, one of them made a remark about a well-known Unitarian Universalist minister, a longtime humanist, who once said he was committed to humanism, always would be, but would probably also always have a soft spot in his heart for God. I don't know if that minister used the word God with a capital G or a small letter G. So if you weren't here last week, you pretty much missed the history lesson. Some of you may give a sigh of relief at that, unfortunately. And I guess I'll have to postpone the quiz too that I was going to have today. Does anyone recognize the name Paul Kurtz, which is possibly pronounced Kurtz? It's German, K-U-R-T-Z. And one source had it said the pronunciation was K-A-R-T-Z. Kurtz? Kurtz? Forgive my German. Kurtz. No? Oh, close. I'll get to that in a minute. Yes. He's been called the father of secular humanism. He was born in 1925 and he just died 3 years ago in October. So exactly 3 years ago in 2012. He was has been called a prominent American skeptic as well as secular humanist. Among other things, he was editor of the Humanist magazine, a magazine I highly recommend. He may have been responsible for this well-known phrase, no deity will save us. We must save ourselves. And he contributed to the writing of the Humanist Manifesto, too. written in 1973. The second Humanist Manifesto begins with a statement that the excesses of Nazism and world wars had made the first manifesto seem too optimistic. You think? And yet, they wrote another one. In the second manifesto, they opposed racism and weapons of mass destruction, strong support for human rights. Forget how many. 21 doesn't sound right to me, but there were more than 15 that were in the original manifesto. Okay, so we're, you know, those things aren't terribly controversial. There was also something in it about technology can improve life, and there was also a call for an international court, which has happened. One of the principals said that divorce and birth control should be legal. So maybe we've made a little, you know, progress. But it did reject religion completely, which is still controversial. And in one of their principles was the right to abortion, which of course is still very controversial. This document was circulated and ended up with thousands of signatures. The original Human Manifesto had no female signers. Human Manifesto 2, before it was circulated, had one. Betty Friedan. And people from all over the world signed this. So, I think there's still a ways to go here, right? 3 years ago, when I began my ministry with you, I mean that literally, because ministry is all that we do together. Ministry is all that we do together. So when I began ministry with you, I heard rumblings here and there. I often hear rumblings, so be careful when you rumble, or mutterings. I hear mutterings. That this congregation should bill itself as the only humanist congregation in town. I don't know. Well, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if we should take that spin on who we are. I don't have an opinion at the moment. Should this society, though, make humanism its central identity, its claim to fame? I think that humanism should be an important part of how we describe ourselves, as long as we don't ignore the possibility, that word again, that the mysterious, the unknown, the awesomeness, the wonder of the universe, the complexity of life, as long as we don't ignore that all of those things also play important roles in our humanity, in our quest to become the best that we can be. I have had more than one experience that I can only describe as mystical, not supernatural, but indescribable, maybe a little bit like dreams can be, except I was wide awake. Who knows everything? Not a one of us. For me, the only sensible approach to everyday living is a humanist one, but I cannot rule out the possibility that there is something greater than each of us. But when I say that, you know I don't mean a supernatural being. I'm not always sure what I mean. I struggle for the right words. I've come to this conclusion through experience. What can be hard to find language for can often be experienced. For example, when people work together, really work together to help heal the broken world. When we laugh together, when we experience joy in nature, when I'm at the bottom of Grand Canyon, or when I'm in northern Minnesota looking at the sky, northern lights there or not, there's something bigger than me. I don't have to call it God with a capital G, but it tempers my humanism. I find that sometimes in conversations with others, certainly in the company of children, in art and in music, something's created that is bigger than my mere self. So I guess I'm maybe not a pure humanist. As I said, my humanism is tempered. Oh, don't worry, I don't think I'm going to start calling myself a theist, although there's certainly nothing wrong with that, I'm just not there. But having said that doesn't mean that I don't believe in God. It's all about the definition of the word. My definition, it's not mine alone, but the one I prefer, is God as that which ultimately concerns us, that which matters. I intend to keep using certain words because they best describe certain aspects of life if used as originally intended. For example, the word religion comes from the Latin word religio, meaning, wait for it, reverence, honor, or respect. I have a great deal of reverence and respect for life. The Unitarian Universalist Humanist Association, which you can find if you go to the UUA.org, says this about being religious. We are religious, they put that in quotes, in that we share with most Unitarian Universalists the natural human desires for a beloved and accepting community, a purpose greater than ourselves. Rituals, this is the Humanist Association writing here, rituals and practices that resonate with our common humanity and shared mortality, and opportunities to work with other tough-minded, warm-hearted people to do good in the world and to help one another attain the greatest possible fulfillment in life. Some questions we might ask and ponder. Is humanism dying out within our Unitarian Universalist tradition? Are the numbers of those who consider themselves to be humanists declining in our congregations? Are younger people interested in humanism? Do they even know what it is? I can tell you that there is a large group of young adults in the Unitarian Universalist congregation in Ann Arbor, Michigan, who have formed a very large humanist group. And I can tell you that when I went to General Assembly in Providence, Rhode Island in 2014, when I visited the humanist booth, I had a wonderful conversation with a young man in his early 20s from, I think, a UU congregation in New York City about humanism. He was personing the table, the booth, and he was very enthusiastic about humanism and its future. Check it out for yourselves at the next General Assembly, which is within driving distance. It will be in Columbus, Ohio, June 22nd to the 26th. Maybe we can get a van or something. And one more question. Are we indeed the humanist congregation in town? And if so, what does that mean for our future? It doesn't mean that we're going to go it alone when it comes to doing the work of the world. And going it alone means being able to speak the language of those with whom we are traveling. We might choose to use so-called God language, metaphorically, literally, figuratively, but we should be comfortable using it and defining words our way. So are we acting out of hubris or humility? There's a fine line in humanism between the two. Do we act out of being full of ourselves? And why shouldn't we be? We're the humans. We're in charge, right? We can do anything we want. We rule the world, and we don't need any help from any God, unless we are defining God as that which is most important, most worthy of our attention. Or will we choose to act out of humility? To be humble humanists, not proud, not arrogant, but unpretentious, thankful for life and full of joy for our humanity, with enough room in our joy and our thankfulness and our humility for those who are not pure humanists. Professor Norman says that at bottom, humanism is a commitment to developing a shared and responsible understanding of what really matters, and living accordingly. That requires humility, I believe, not hubris. I think it would be fascinating to write a new humanist manifesto, and Norman did just that. You can study them and read his accompanying article in the January-February 2015 issue of the Humanist magazine. But for now, I will just tell you that his manifesto is called Humanism's Big Picture Mattering Map, with the subtitle of What Really Matters and Why. He has only 9 statements, not 15 or 21 or whatever the number was with Humanist Manifesto 2, and he attributes the basis of each of these 9 to famous people. philosophers mostly. Basically, as you can tell from the subtitle, his mattering map, in his words, is his attempt to capture, in brief, because these are all very brief, what centuries of patient inquiry have taught us about genuine mattering. Now, where have I heard that before? Oh, yes, that is my preferred definition of God, that which ultimately concerns us. We could as easily say that the holy, the religious, is that which genuinely matters. I am a humanist. Baseline humanist. Sometimes humanist pagan, sometimes humanist Buddhist, depends on the day, depends on how things are going, how much despair I feel for the world, maybe, whether I've been out in nature recently. But I am a humanist. I have to imagine the unimaginable. And this, for me, is where the sacred, the religious, enters into the equation. Despite the ifs, ands, and buts, and the maybes of life, I am a humanist who tries to look at what is, and to go from there to what if, and why not. The pledge, this pledge that I make, despite or maybe because of the state of the world. I make it with sadness, knowing how far short of its loftier goals humanity has come thus far. But more importantly, I continue to make my pledge to humanism with joy and optimism, always recognizing the possibility of possibilities yet unknown. For those of you who weren't here last week, we had a brief conversation about whether you should say, you can say bless you if you're an atheist or a humanist. And that, you know, we all thought that was sort of silly. But then later, he blurts out, he doesn't usually blurt out, as if he just thought of it, I don't say bless you, but I do say God damn it. And I thought that was perfect. That's just for humanism, so I'm okay with that. And to be fair, we have to say that Paul Kurtz and Edwin H. Wilson wrote the Second Humanist Manifesto, and Wikipedia says 17, so I think you're right. The closing words are a poem by Donald Sommerfeld, and I got this out of the February 2015 Humanist Magazine. I have to take a deep breath and you will understand why. It's titled Yes and Maybe. If you are, if I am, if we can, if you do, if we don't, if you want, if we fall, if we rise, what then? Kiss this night with our ifs, maybes, with yes and but, with insolence and incongruity, with a chapter yet to be read across your indefatigable life, the fallacy of mind framed in this kindred restlessness of some other deeper place, this forest, this ancient sanctuary of thought and reason, sensuality, tumult where passion resides, reject the all-encompassing, all-consuming great lie, toss aside the sky daddy mythology, jump the abyss with me, find new meaning in the journey, not old wounds. If maybe, we will shape the world with our hands. If yes, we cannot lose the depth and breadth of humanity. Say it is so, say it. Say it is so. Thank you. And she saw God. Okay. Blessed be. Go in peace. Greet your neighbor.